Welcome back to Light on Conspiracies, the second part for subscribers only.
I'm back here with Cyclone and Conspiracy Granny. Due to some heavy storms in Texas at the moment, the sound is a little messed up, but we have to do the best of the situation. So you were telling us about this reward that you had put out of $100,000 in silver. And you mentioned 33 different operations that you are willing to put this money on the table for, if anyone can show that there were actual deaths. Could you go through this list of different events?
Well, we got the 19 are going to stay up right now. We're not willing to post the other. We're going to put them in order of what we determine at this point are importance and where everybody really needs to start looking. Going down the road first, we're going to put Sandy Hook at the top now, of course. We had Waco at one time at the number one position. And then Fort Lauderdale, when that came out and was so obvious, you know, we wanted more people to kind of pay attention to that.
When you say Waco, is that the old real Waco event?
No, the Waco Twin Peaks biker shooting.
Okay.
That they had in Waco. Yep. Mm-hmm. Let me get our channel up. Our internet just went down. The storm.
I'm sure that you've been absolutely bombarded with phone calls about people who want to receive this reward or not, I would guess.
Yeah, or not. The only calls we really had at all were proven to be trolls, basically, especially on the San Antonio one, just harassments. They never would even provide us with just the simplest request was just to confirm that they really had the evidence they were claiming. We just wanted to see copies of the birth certificate and death certificate. And then we were willing to pursue it further and contact our attorney. And they never could or would even provide that, even though they claimed they had that readily available in their hands at the time of the call. But they never sent it to our email. So
surprise, surprise.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. Nothing there.
We want to put Sandy Hook back on the top because yeah. Everyone, there's so many to focus on. They want us focusing on the last 100 that they've pulled. Let's just focus on one. Everybody focus on one and bring these people to justice. If I don't wear my seatbelt, I'm getting a ticket. And if I don't pay that ticket, click, click, go the silver bracelets. Okay? But you can, you know, pull your stuff all day long. And we need to be tired of it.
I also
anybody
think
tired of it?
I'm very tired.
I know you are. You work hard, man.
Is it like 2 in the morning over there?
No, actually, it's 7 o'clock in the evening, but I've been going nonstop here for a day or two, or years.
30 years. No, we know how it is, Ollie. Once it consumes you, it's 24 hours a day. You don't do anything else. You're not willing to do anything else. This is your life. You're going to make the change or not. We're right with you.
But I think you've done really well with putting Sandy Hook up there, because Sandy Hook is so emotionally charged that is the one that people cannot grasp, that how would it be possible. So it's fantastic that you put that up there, because that really is challenging the official version big time.
Yes, absolutely. We're so proud of Wolfgang and the things he's done and the abuse he's taken, my God, and the threats and the family, and what his family, his children went through, his wife went through. He's almost lost his whole marriage and everything else just for asking a simple question. And that's what really convinced my European parents when they sat down and I had them finally sit down and watch Wolfgang tell his brief story real quick of how he has been abused. It finally sunk into them what was really going on at Sandy Hook.
Yeah, because the lies, it's like, I think it was Goebbels, the propaganda minister of Hitler, who said that the bigger the lie, the easier it is for people to buy it, to swallow it.
And absolutely.
It's a big one. But the whole thing is doesn't make it less true. And when you look at these big NATO drills, when we look at these false flags, I think it's very important to see how they're coordinated internationally. And just like NATO drills with multiple member countries, up to 14, 15 different countries in the same drills, where some of these drills involves like 1,000, 1,500 people. So to see a staged event like this, it's not impossible, absolutely not, as a normal drill. And here we're talking about a similar thing, but being presented as it was the truth.
Absolutely. Sandy Hook's easy to pick over. Everybody's done the hard work. Every single one of us at one point, it seems like, have picked apart Sandy Hook. I mean, that really is the one that the most work's been done on so far, especially with it on the legal aspect of it. But some of those initial barriers have been knocked down by Wolfgang and Jim Fetzer, and then we got Sophia Small, that she's been there and done her thing. I mean, just good people, hard people like you that have been there while doing hard work, that know what the hell they're talking about, have all tackled Sandy Hook. I truly believe we could bring them down with Sandy Hook.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like one crack in the wall, one real
yes.
crack, and the whole thing will go down. I'm involved with Fetzer in a series of books where one of them is about Sandy Hook. It's called Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. We got another one, and Nobody Died in Boston either. But that Sandy Hook book got banned from Amazon. It was the first book I heard that got banned from Amazon about a year ago. But what Fetzer and his colleague, what they decided to do, which I thought was brilliant, was just, okay, then we're going to give it out for free. So it's still available on my website, lightonconspiracies.com. You can go on the books, and there's a free copy there where the cover, I do the interior design on the book covers and write some chapters sometimes. But the cover is there with a big gold sign saying banned by Amazon. And then what happened was he found a new printer and publisher and Moon Rock Books, and then have now published a more updated version. But it's like the 415 pages of facts just showing from just tearing the whole official story apart, step by step by step by step.
Exactly why they never want to see a jury trial.
Ooh, no.
they do not want to ever, and that's what I've been pushing for. And I guess you everybody knows about the war going on between me and C.W. Wade of Sandy Hook Facts. I mean, he's even published one of his most recent videos, you know, with my name in his title. I mean, and saying how he doesn't ever address these type of people that I need addressing because of their reward. I mean, this guy has really went out of his way to target me in particular. Which is fine. That's exactly what we want. I want him to pursue this in a courtroom, and hopefully one day, God, we can get a jury.
They would never do that in a courtroom that is not rigged. So you can you can count on, if you are being called to a courtroom like that, check out the judges, the attorneys, the lawyers, and so on, and they will most probably be connected by Freemasonic links into this controlling apparatus. So
we ever get them to that point, Ollie, I pay for every one of you guys to show up.
I'll be there.
I will pay for all of your plane tickets, round trip, and housing. I swear to God,
count me in.
Just you got it, brother.
Yeah.
Hell yes, we will.
Then I can come visit your mom as well. That sounds like a great deal. No,
right.
for sure anything that will make a difference for the better, count me in. Front line,
shit,
wherever.
That makes us so happy.
No, it's my pleasure. But this is the beauty of the truth, is that they do not dare touch the truth. They do not dare to get into this snake nest, because a conspiracy is just a massive, big, covered, stinking, smelly dungeon of lies. But the truth is pure. It doesn't fear any investigation. It just stands on its own. So this is the thing. They do not dare to challenge you. That is why I don't think I've ever been challenged, except in like ridiculous little remarks that blah, 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 blah. And then I say that when they say, oh, don't trust Damagod, he's only talking about reptilians. I say, please, thank you so much for your comment. Now, if you could be kind enough to show me wherever have I spoken publicly about reptilians, and they've gone, boom, or whatever it is. But that's it, because the only thing I've tried to focus on is the truth. And that one has this amazing power.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So it's really good to be here with you. Granny, tell me some more. I thought that when you just walked up while this thing was going on somewhere in San Antonio, I think, and you were calling out, "This is a false flag," and there was a crisis actor crying, and you said, "Come on, stop playing theater or whatever. We all know you're a crisis actor," and so would you mind? I thought that was brilliant.
Well, no, really, I was because I believe everybody, and you know, I really did think their children were in the mall. Why wouldn't I? You know what I'm saying? But when that boy raised her hand and they didn't really look at me like they were trying to avoid looking at me, there were little signs that just kind of went off. And then I was trying to tell her, your kids are okay. And she didn't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. And if my kids were in there and somebody said, "Your kids are okay," I'd be like, "Tell me more." Because mm-hmm. let me tell you, I'm fixing to go through that front door. I don't care who's standing there. So she didn't want to hear that her kids were okay. Hello.
Because she was a crisis actor.
And then the guy raised his hand like, "We need help over here. You know, this isn't something we're used to."
Intruder.
You know, I'm just hanging out, picking my nose, basically. Didn't look too worried to me. So I went from, you know, the whole time I was like, your kids are okay, really? So the whole time it didn't occur to me, you know, I didn't know what was going on. But when he raised his hand, because I've just seen that, you know, in other places, I was like, "Dude, don't raise your hand," mm-hmm. you know. But
he was signaling the hand, is what she was saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a great.
Did you feel that the police that were there were real police, or were they part of a stage troupe, sort of?
They didn't want me there, and I'm really glad I brought someone along with me, because they probably would have thrown me in some kind of vehicle and I would have never been seen again. So when I told
Cypher, those police were real.
Were okay. They real?
Yes. I recognize the uniforms and everything else. Those were real policemen, and their mannerisms and everything else. And I've been part of police department when I was very young. Yes. But, those were real. Those weren't actors.
Did you get the impression that they believed that it actually happened, or that they were in on it?
In on it.
Okay.
I don't know. They didn't want me there. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. They wanted me bye-bye. You got to go. But no, I'm going to, you know, I've got something to say before I leave. I'm leaving.
You're leaving.
I didn't have a choice, and if it wasn't for the other person with me, I probably wouldn't be talking to you today.
They'd arrested you anyway. Yeah.
No. Who knows what they would have done to me?
Yeah. Not by that.
No.
They would have arrested her, I think. If she'd have got any mouthier with her, they would have arrested her.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful that you have each other. I think you're excellent, excellent.
But don't go to an investigation of any sort without a backup.
No.
Because there's so much evil that they don't care what they do to you.
Yeah. I also think that Robin from How I See the World, the guy who phones up hospitals, speaks to the FBI, speaks to people in the hospitals about these things, speaks directly to crisis actors and so on, just letting them expose themselves big time, that is a fantastic way as well. And I can recommend people to do that, because then also you're not there in body type of thing. You can just put down the receiver should anything go wrong or something like that. What you're doing is you're putting yourself in sort of what could be a tricky situation for sure. So it's really, I really want to recommend also, if you should do that, there are special apps, especially I think there's one called Bamboozle that you can install on your cell phone, and then should somebody approach you in an aggressive way, just say, "Please, before you consider hitting me in the head with something hard, you are being filmed and it's being live streamed on YouTube. The only thing you need to is click that button, it goes live on YouTube." And
wow,
that has a very calming effect meantime.
Yes, excellent advice for everybody, no doubt. Cover your ass with these people. You just feel the evil in the air, and it always is great to have another set of eyes.
Yeah.
We've even let our hair grow gray just to be a little more unsuspecting in all the situations. And you wouldn't believe how that gets you through the door in some situations.
Yeah.
They don't even look at you twice.
Yeah.
It's like you become invisible as you grow older. I'm starting to feel the things that our parents have said, you know. That's just horrible, but it gets us in some situations that I don't think we could have ever got into.
It's a blessing in disguise.
Yes, it is. They don't know what's coming at them.
I'm growing my animals last year as well.
Yes, it's great. You look great, man.
I just
the
need
problem
a,
is we know better because we're older. We know this stuff. You know, we've seen the skies. We've seen blue skies. We know what real food tastes like and all these things that the young whippersnappers do not know. So they need to listen to Granny. And
can I ask you, when you approach these people, like at the funeral and so on, and you, the one thing that is always in being of interest to me is to get up close to people like George Bruce Sr. and these type of things. Not that I want to, but just to get the feeling, you know, how do they laugh? How do they smell? How do they behave themselves? Just because these are people that sounds nice, but when you look at their actions, they're absolute monsters. And when it comes to false flags as well, the crisis actors involved and so on, what was your feeling at these different funerals when you saw the crisis actors, the controllers and so on? Were there a different feeling, or could you sort of handpick, there's one?
The whole place, both times. Everybody there felt off. They were very standoffish. They had no personality. There was no laughing. Nobody smiling with them. Of course, you know, you're talking about a funeral too, but no. It was more than that. You know, we've all been to regular funerals where people still are shaking hands, meeting people they haven't seen in a long time. And you're going to have some kind of emotions. These are like, they're like drones. I mean, they really feel like they're one timeline off. You know, I mean, what has CERN really done to us? You know, that's the kind of feeling I get. These people just are not like us at all. I mean, that is the feeling, and I'm into that feeling. I like getting close to those people, and it's like they're not like us, and it could just be because they do bad things, and we don't do good. You know, we don't do things like that, and we just don't understand that evil. I don't know what it is, but it is a completely different feeling than being in a room full of normal people. And I was a bouncer in bars for a long time, so I've been around a lot of people in big groups. These funerals are a total different breed of people. I told her that when I came back from the first one that they didn't feel human. So whatever that means.
That's a really interesting observation, I think. But did you feel that this crowd needed to be controlled, that there were sort of controllers and the bouncers in the outskirts? Normally, you will see these people, it looks like former military people, you know, a bit overweight, but still they're looking in the wrong direction.
Yes. They're in the footage. You can actually see them. And a lot of times I do freeze frame on them and do some snapshots. It's exactly what you're talking about. That's exactly what they look like. A lot of them look like ex-FBI, a little bit heavier set. But you've got the young guys walking around there, the cocky young ex-military guys with sunglasses on also in the same footage. You know, and the ones coming out the back door when they're packing everything out the back of after it's all said and done, we filmed them from across the road. Even as we were trying to catch them actually taking the dummy out of the building, but we never got to see that. They just tore down everything else and threw it in a couple of cars, and they were gone.
Was it an open casket?
Yes.
Did you see the body?
Oh yeah, we walked right up on it in the San Antonio one with two hidden cameras running at the same time, and got to actually walk up to the casket and stick the camera within 2 feet of the mannequin. And if you look at the whole footage, the mannequin looks like he might be 5'5", 5'6", at you know, somewhere in there for his size. But yet the victim was like 6'4", you know, almost 300 pounds. I mean, it was totally different than what we expected to see in there. We expected a real big man, as they had presented in all the photographs, and even the screen that was going on above the casket was photos of this really big man, you know, always looking down on everybody around him. But the mannequin looked like it was maybe manufactured for the one funeral they had for the Waco Twin Peaks, which was a Spanish guy about 5'6". And it looks like they used the same mannequin they probably used at that funeral for this one. That's what it looked like to us.
You're sure it wasn't a real dead body?
Yeah, no, it was a mannequin. I would bet anything on it. But you know how they look similar. But what got me was the eyes. The eyes. The eyes were painted on. They weren't glued down or sewed or whatever they do with the eyelids at the mortuary. But these looked, I would swear to God, they were painted on. Professionally painted on, no doubt about it. But thin black lines where the lids were. The lines were too crisp, too clean, too smooth and too perfectly. Those were not eyelids.
He was Mexican.
Yeah, and the mannequin looked like they had put a little more white rouge or makeup over it to make it appear to be a white boy when it actually looks like the mannequin would have been a Hispanic male, about 5'6", which fits the Jesse Rodriguez victim, the only funeral that they had on the Waco Twin Peaks situation a few years earlier.
But who can blame them for trying to recycle some fear porn?
Yeah, they're good about that.
So it really becomes ridiculous, doesn't it, when you get close to these type of things?
Yeah, that's why we're always laughing about things, because it is so funny what we see. And when we start breaking down the videos, there's one that came up recently. You might have heard about the Uvalde, Texas church bus crash that happened recently. 13 mm-hmm. elderly people were killed. Did you hear about that one recently?
No.
That was a bus crash that supposedly a young man was texting in a big dually pickup and swerved across the line and went head on into a church bus choir full of elderly people coming back from a 3-day retreat. And it was in a remote town outside of San Antonio here, right outside of town. And anyway, the 13, of course, there's our 13, but 13 victims died in that. But here's the deal. For once, we pretty much looked at the footage and broke it down with Rufus Cat and those guys, and they found the seats that were out. But yet the three interviews of the NTSB, all up and down, swore that the victims were still in their seats, seat belted. But yet the seats are thrown out with the wreckage. I mean, it's a whole stage scene. We broke it down, looked at it. There's no license plate, this, that, and the other. Many, many, many things about that whole scene are wrong that we would instantly pin to being another hoax. But here's the problem we've run into. One of the victims, one of the elderly woman, was Conspiracy Granny here, her mother's best friend. She's gone. Her mother actually expected this woman to come home and see her that afternoon. She never came home. She died as one of those victims. So what's happening there? See, this is the only one that's ever got us confused where somebody is missing that we know. Personally, I mean, she spent time with her 2 weeks earlier.
I tell you, welcome to my world. It is a confusing area we're getting into because... For one thing, for people who think that this is that this sounds off the wall and so on, when you look at the strategy of tension, the old CIA strategy, where the whole idea is to inflict as much fear and pain into modern society so that we will just be totally terrified at all times and welcome more and more militarized police, surveillance, cameras, you name it, the New World Order. So they not only do they do false flags where it's like shootings and bombs and these type of things, but they also, I would suggest, make false flag road accidents, like bridge things like in the Atlanta now where it's perfectly cut off, and they blame it on a druggie. I mean, I don't know how you can do that, but anyway, they did. But also airplanes, derailing trains, subway accidents and so on, so that we won't feel safe anywhere. That is, in my opinion, the reason for these staged accidents as well. You got the Chattanooga bus and so on. But so what is the deal with real victims? And sometimes I believe that real people are killed they call it collateral damage, you know, just to get the body count up there to get the emotions going. So that sometimes real people are dying, but the whole thing can still be set up, that it's a staged event, but they need victims, so boom. Other times, I remember Fletcher Prouty, who was, he's Mr. X in the JFK movie, played by Donald Sutherland, and he was a whistleblower from Pentagon. He did a lot in his career, involved black ops and false flags and so on. And what he said was that one time he and Alan Dulles, the former director for the CIA, major player in all of this mayhem, they were in Greece and driving around, and then Dulles said to Fletcher, do you know what that is over there? And pointed to, there was like this holiday resort type of thing. And he said, no, is it some kind of a little holiday, you know, vacation type of thing? And Dulles said, no, they're all ours, all of them, kids, adults, old people, all of them were CIA. sleeping agents, wandering assets, you know, like on standby, retired, whatever, ready within a phone, you know, to be activated by a phone call wherever needed, just boom, and flown to wherever they were needed to do their part, whatever that was. And I think that is what we see at Sandy Hook. We see a small little village town. I mean, it's such a tiny little place when you look at it, but where all of them are involved. And then you fly in external crisis actors and some of the soldiers that were running around there chasing for Adam Lanza were speaking Hebrew. I mean, go figure that one. And so I don't know, but it sounds to me that that could be the thing. Also, another thing is that how many people working for the NSA or CIA or FBI do you know?
Most personally, people. Nobody.
Exactly. That is the same with most people. They have no idea. Yet, there are like thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of thousands of people working for these organizations, meaning could very well be your mother's friend as well. Maybe as a clerk, maybe as an undercover agent. You never know. I mean, some of these assassins even look like old ladies. So who knows? And then they've just been like the guy, the police that is said to have been shot dead on the pavement in Paris at the Charlie Hebdo incident. I was there. I've been filming, undercover filming on more or less all of the places where a false flag has occurred here in Europe. We tracked him down. He lives in Buenos Aires, this dead police officer. He's a Mossad agent, lives in Buenos Aires in Argentina, doing great. He was paid $666,000, a nice little sum, very nice 666 there, and told to stay away for 6 years until he's from a little plastic operation and he's welcome back. I mean, who would say no to 6 years holiday? You know, in a nice place, in a nice location, paid for big time. And so maybe your friend's mother is doing great somewhere else.
That was my guess, and that's what I tried to convince her of, the same thing. I don't think she's dead.
She was sacrificed. There's a lot of missing people. There's seniors, and there's infants or small children that disappear from national parks every year, thousands.
True.
And that was a group of senior citizens. So all they had to do was abduct them. You know, now I sound like a nut. My family's going to lock me away, by the way. So if you hear that they threw away the key, but, you know, where are all these missing people?
Well, I tell you, Sidethorn and I would come and get you.
Okay.
Yes,
come get me.
Yeah.
No, I think she's safe too, man. You know, this would have been the first investigation we've ever looked at where actually they killed people.
But then there can also be accidental deaths and in a thing like this. You never know. But you know, like there was the so-called Copenhagen shooting where there was a lone crazy guy, as always, who killed some people at a book cafe and then killed a guy outside a synagogue, and they say. You've got the Israel Mossad theme very strong here in Europe especially. And it's said that there was this Danish film director who was at this meeting at this book cafe in the audience. And then when the shooter started shooting with an automatic weapon, he jumped him. He was out having a smoke outside. And when the shooter came out, he just jumped him and was then killed by a headshot. Okay, that's one dead. When I was there in Copenhagen, I went there straight after the whole thing with all the military still in the street, took a group around and totally debunked it, everything I could find, had been able to find, debunked it in front of these police and whatever. And afterwards, at a conference in Copenhagen, I was approached by a man who said, did he die? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, I was his best friend. Is he dead? And I said, you were his best friend. Is he dead? And he said, I don't know. But his family were there. They stayed for a while and then suddenly they just disappeared. And he said, I'm so confused. And this is what I believe, you know, Chip Tatum, the whistleblower, CIA whistleblower I told you about before, he said that these films, the Jason Bourne Identity, Jason Bourne, different, this serial of movies, are very accurate, except for the training. They have a different type of training, not so much Hollywood type. But the whole thing with sleeping assets and walking assets and wannabes and used-to-bes and whatever, all these things they call them, is true. So...
Yeah, Operation Gladio, right? I mean, everywhere. Everywhere, sleepers. And I really believe that. I believe that this woman's alive and all those old people are alive. I can't believe that they would finally start murdering people like that. And would they do it that close to us, knowing we're doing these kind of investigations? Wow.
This is, I end up very confused often, you know, when these things. And I really would like, if anyone hears this and knows about any type of technology where you can scan graves to see if there's actually anyone in there, down there, where you can actually see the length of the body and so it can be measured, the body size and so on, that would be incredibly valuable. Because I tell you, JFK's grave, empty. Olof Palme's, the Swedish Prime Minister's grave, empty. And many of these graves that exist after these type of operations, I tell you, you are welcome to chop off my right arm if there are bodies in many of them. But it would be extremely important if we could prove it without having to open up the grave. So if there is any kind of technology, I've spoken to different people in the oil industry, and also with sonars and so on, but it's often so expensive and big, clumsy equipment that it hasn't been possible yet. But if there was some kind of a thing that you could walk around with under your arm and just go zzz, you know, that would be fantastic. So if you know, contact me.
Yeah, I mean, we see it on the Hollywood shows all the time. They got this big roller thing, looks like a real heavy lawnmower that they've got hooked up to headphones and this, that, and the other. So they pretend they have the technology. So I'm sure they do. I bet big cities with real investigative, you know, units, they probably do have some sort of equipment like that. But once again, we're never going to have the real law enforcement use our own tools that the taxpayers pay to actually do a real investigation on any of these situations. They're bought and paid for. Every police department we've run across here in Texas is corrupt. We're finding these false flags in every county in the state of Texas. And every time there's a sheriff at the forefront in a white cowboy hat running his mouth telling the people that this thing just happened when we know for a fact it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It was pathetic. Watching our own sheriff here in Caldwell County lie to the people like he did, telling them that there were 16 victims in a balloon crash was a lie. And I ended up out in Alpine watching the sheriff out there in that county, Brewster County, stand up and tell all the people in the county that people had just been shot and killed in that school. Another lie. It's so corrupt here in every police department, all the way from the governor down. The governor's niece was one of the arresting officers of the guy that shot the victim at the San Antonio Mall. He even tweeted that on his Twitter account, how he was proud how his niece was one of the arresting officers escorting the bad guy that had just shot someone. When he knows it's a hoax. Every one of these events here have a Department of Public Safety helicopter putting a no-fly zone above us every single time at every event. They don't even let any mainstream media helicopters even by chance come in there and get some footage that might expose them. So this is a sign from the governor down. Department of Homeland Security, I mean, Texas Department of Public Safety has the helicopters in the sky, and they are in control of all the exits and entry points on every one of these facilities. They are guarding these drills for the government.
I tell
that's
you,
just, that's a fact.
No, it was not a coincidence that JFK was taken out in Dallas.
That's right. This is the headquarters. There's no doubt in my mind. I think one of the entry points, if we want to get crazy about it, is that ranch where Scalia was killed. They've got bunkers running out of that ranch out there. I have no doubt. That's where all my evidence leads. That place out there in West Texas just gives you the willies just getting out around it. I went out there. I've never felt so in fear for my presence, just walking around, it felt evil. I'll be honest with you. There's something weird going on in West Texas.
Please tell me more about that case.
Well, that's the same ranch where they always at Hunting Ranch, where Supreme Court Justice Scalia was.
If you could tell the listeners who he is, who he was.
That was Judge Scalia, Antonin Scalia, our Supreme Court justice that was killed, and God, the whole situation on that was, I mean, he was found with a pillow over his face. I mean, these are the rabbit holes. They're giving us this information. I mean, why are they even giving us this suspect information coming out of that ranch? Why didn't they just play it off as everything was legit and he died of a heart attack in his sleep like it supposedly happened? The whole deal was fishy. That whole place out there is fishy, and you see all, who's all been connected to that place and flown in and out of there for years and years, all the way from Johnson, right after the Kennedy assassination, was on that ranch. I mean, all the way up till present day, the Bushes have attended. That ranch is a key part, and it's really fishy that, you know, our Supreme Court justice meets his demise on an overnight stay.
Yeah.
Especially the only person that we still had that actually spoke out for gun rights in this country that's on the Supreme Court.
I don't know what to say, except that I heard an interview once with, it was involving a team of assassins that had been used in several different assassinations. And one guy was interviewed and they said, but why did they use the same people? And he said, why change a winning team?
Bingo.
And here, why change the safe locations where you've always been? Why change it if it's working?
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. Listen, my friends, I think we've come to the end of this interview. I really, really want to thank you. I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your courageous way of dealing with this, for your way of standing up and speaking out. And because it might sound like, you're doing for the money. What money? Question one.
Yep.
What money?
We spent a lot.
Yeah, no. But you're doing it to sell books. I tell you, I've written books to sell them. Not easy when you're on your own and you're sort of like blackballed or whatever it's called, up against the wall. Not easy. But that you're doing it, even putting yourself at harm's way, I really salute that. And it's a true honor for me to have met you like this. And I am going to recommend you to many other shows. And I hope that your words and your actions will spread big time so that it will inspire other people to do the same.
Thanks, Ollie. We truly love you. We talk about you all the time, man, and your work. I'm not kidding, man. There's very, very few out there that we respect that actually go out, I mean, make the effort and go to these scenes and do the things. And we know what you do, man. I mean, you really are. They are there and they're watching you. And I know you when you go to these places, you feel them watching you. I know you do, and it's dangerous.
I'm not hiding, so my address is on the website. If they want to come, I'm here. But the thing,
I always tell them the key's under the mat.
But there you go. It sounds funny. It sounds funny, but it's not. The thing is, I refuse to live in fear. I mean, who knows? Maybe they're out there. Maybe they're not. I refuse to live in fear. I will live like this, and I will die like this, and I will enjoy the ride until then.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes we just, for fun, if we just expose something really that could be dangerous, we just, I am the host of whatever program, just go through, ha, 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 I just had my medical, everything is perfect, I'm not depressed, and my car has just been checked, and not suicidal in any way or form. Just to make a little statement to back off, don't even try it, you know.
There you go. We're with you 100%.
That's so, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I think we found a really good friend today. Thank you, Olive.
Yes, we're here to speak the truth and change things. We need a change.
You are changing things big time. And you are in a black hole. So to do it where you are, whoa, fantastic. Because it's just down the road for you. For other people, it's sort of like in another continent. But you are right in the middle of it and still doing what you are doing. So
we're never bored, Ollie.
That is true. That is true. Neither am I.
Thanks for having us, brother. We love you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And, well, it's going to be really fun the next time that I interview you or we talk about it in 6 months or something like that when still nobody has come and claimed the reward, because I can guarantee that no one will do that.
There you go.
Money safe, well invested, and let's have a beer one day.
Yes, sir.
You take care.
Take care, brother.
Listen, one thing I forgot to, my apologies. How can people reach you, and how can they support you and your efforts?
Oh, just anywhere. Just punch in Sidethorn, especially through YouTube, contact Facebook. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Sidethorn1. And we, Sidethorn Journalist, is at yahoo.com also. Just anywhere out there, we will eventually get back to them. We don't want any financial support ever. What we want to do is eventually we want to be able to support all you guys that are doing the hard work. That's what we want to do. We're going to raise money for you guys, and that's just the way it is, man. There's billions of dollars funding these lying institutes and no money going to the hardworking troopers. There's something wrong with that system.
There's something wrong with that. Well, so if the YouTube channel where many of these videos are is Sidethorn, is that the name of it?
Yes, just go into the playlist and just pick a hoax. And some of them, when you see that they're all Sidethorn originals, that's our footage from the bushes.
Excellent. Would you do me a favor, please?
Mute the mic.
Give each other a hug from me.
Okay, right now. And a kiss.
And a kiss. Yeah. And then go give my best to the dog. And I'll see you one of these days, either here,
yes, sir,
there, or anywhere.
Stay in contact, Ollie. We love you, man.
Yes. You take care.
We'll be back.
I'm going to put you in touch with a lot of shows, so stand by.
Yes, sir. Sounds great.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Light on Conspiracies, the place where truth and love transcend the darkness. Take care and see you soon.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize.
Coup d'etat in slow motion. Connecting the dots between the assassinations of Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, JFK, Robert Kennedy, and John Lennon. Now available on Amazon and lightonconspiracies.com. Coup d'etat in slow motion.